Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Fake mustache, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low, this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
To the Crab Feast, y'all. Yeah. Another Tuesday, another Crab Feast for that ass. That was some fucking pitch touching right there, Jay Larson. I mean, it took us a little while to get it going, but then boom, just touching it.
I'll tell you, man, I'm nervous every time now. I'm nervous every time we ain't gonna touch.
You know what? That is a perfect pitch touch. It was fireworks for the 4th of July episode here. That was pitch touching out the game. What the hell kind of fireworks?
I don't know. I think also it's weird for me to touch pitches when we're completely naked like this.
It's a little weird.
God, it's odd.
But how you doing today, Jay? Jay Larson, I should say.
It's gonna be a good week, man.
It is gonna be a good
week. 4th of July. I'm excited about it. You know, I get fired up.
I know you get.
I literally get fired up, and I'm glad all you guys are tuned in. We love you. We're glad to be here every Tuesday. As always, you can see me, find me on Twitter, Jay Larson Comedy, jlarsoncomedy.com, and I've decided to have a lot of dates that are in town. If anybody's in town wants to come in the month of July, I have tons of dates. They'll all be on my website, jlarsoncomedy.com, or I'll have them on my Twitter right into my little profile. But I'm also doing a storytelling show that I'm producing, and Ryan is going to be on. It's July 30th at the Wits End, W-I-T-Z End, at 8 p.m. It's in Venice, California. And I don't have tickets to that, but I invite you all to come. It's going to be a really good show, all storytellers. And me and the Sickle Soul will be there. So please come out to that. And if you want to come to the Brea show that we've been pumping endlessly, you can no longer come because we are officially sold out. The guest list is full. We apologize. We wish we could fit more people, but we do have a limit there. And you feasters are animals, and we have no more room. So we will be doing another show in Southern California, and we'll get that date out as soon as we have it locked. In the meantime, keep feasting, people. Keep feasting. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, RyanSickler.com. I'm going to say the same thing you do. I have a lot of in-town shows in July this month. For any and all things Crab Feast, go to thecrabfeast.com. You guys are buying the shit out of the t-shirts, and you look good in them. A bunch of you came out to Hollywood Improv in your hoodies and your tees. I saw the big titty picture that was been
that
tweeting
up.
Around,
Manch
man.
Vegas. What up, Manch Vegas?
That looked good, goddammit. So keep buying them
The best thing about that was we didn't say anything. We're just like, favorite it. Hey, great pick. Thanks. Someone's like, yo, I'm just going to say, them some nice titties. Yeah. And then he hashtag, yeah. Y'all know you were thinking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and he's right. keep hitting up that Amazon link and the Pro Flowers link. And join our email list. That's how you find out. We are going to have some more Southern
right
California shows. You can do that right on the page. Facebook fan page. You guys are hitting it up and liking it. I see you having fun. We love the fucking post on there. The posts are funny as shit. I see you guys getting along with each other out there. Look,
I love it.
Pitch touching video.
The picture of me and you throwing. I'm a southpaw on that picture.
Yeah, you are. Hey, man, you have a longer career probably. The iTunes page, you guys keep asking, how can we help you? There's a free way you can help us. You can go to the iTunes page, write a review, and give us 5 stars.
Tell a friend.
And then tell everybody.
And
for all you people, I don't have iTunes. Well, we got an RSS feed on our homepage and a link to every episode in its individual post. And there's always Stitcher.
And there's always Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. And let me hear you say wow.
So we're fired up today, literally 4th of July. We have a first-time guest here, a special guy. First non-comedian coming in today
first
for us.
First time ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome first time to the Crab Feast for our 4th of July episode, Billy Darien.
Hello. Welcome to Crab Feast.
I'm clapping for myself. What the fuck is a Crab Feast?
You really never had a Crab Feast?
Yeah, I know, but that's what it's named after is
King
boiled.
Of the backyards doesn't know what a Crab Feast is.
Dude, I know what it is.
Belly
it's a
dick.
Bunch of dirty ass sea cockroaches that are boiled in a pot of water, but that's what
steamed.
You named it?
In New Orleans, they're boiled.
Okay.
See, a crab feast, Billy D, is what we're doing right now, sitting around shooting the shit, telling stories and laughing. That's what a crab feast is all about.
All
cold
right.
beer, good friends, and some laughs. So
okay,
it's
got
a pleasure to have you
I
here.
Would call this an old-time town meeting. No, I wouldn't, because that's lame.
So real quick, before we get into a bunch of stuff here, hit the fans with your Twitter, anything you'd like them to know about you, where they can follow you and see you.
Okay, well, first of all, I hate social media, but it is obviously an evil of the planet.
I agree with you.
So Billy Darian is, that's my Twitter name, D-E-R-I-A-N. Billy, B-I-L-L-Y, Darian, D-E-R-I-A-N. I got a fan page, which it really is even hard for me to even say, but I got a fan page, Billy Darian on Facebook. And then I have a private Facebook, which I prefer people go to.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Billy
You're
Darian.
Interactive with your fans.
And you have a website as well.
Yeah, I got a website. Guess what it's called?
BillyDarian.com.
Man, you're a fucking genius.
Oh. Thank you, Billy D.
Yep.
So Billy D is the host of DIY's Extra Yardage. Some of you out there may watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And you also hosted, what was it on Discovery?
Well, way back in the day, we started, we were the pioneers of the first ever backyard makeover show. Seriously.
And that's legit considering how many, I mean, I watch HG and DIY all the time. How many out there to be the first? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we got a million lame-ass douchebags that used to be like gardeners doing shows now.
Right.
But we started in 2001 Backyard Brigade, which was on Discovery Channel.
Boom.
And the cool thing was John Deere sponsored it. And what that means is they paid me a shitload of money to wear green and yellow and say, nothing runs like a deer.
I love John Deere.
Yeah, no
fuck
kidding.
Yeah, I do too. So we had the first show. And can I interrupt?
No, please.
And the really cool thing was when we first pitched this show, the ball breaker, you know, the real hook was, they're a drum roll, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billy, you ready for this? Bro, it'll be the first show ever where friends and family do the work. So that, you know, that's the model now. It's
a format
for that shit.
And you guys kicked it off.
We kicked it off, and we had friends and family.
Now you all gonna do this shit.
Yeah.
And give grandma a shovel.
Yeah, well, you know what? The first thing I did, no shit. I'm glad you brought that up. The woman of the house, grandma, the sister-in-law, on the jackhammer, on the chainsaw.
Jackhammer.
And it was always the prissy bitch with the nice fingernails that got on the bobcat. The little tractor.
Oh, I love bobcats.
Yeah, and you know what? Those chicks, they usually got pretty good at it and wouldn't get off the fucking thing. That's the problem. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you know what? They're fun. It's
and
like
that's
a
what
toy.
You want to work on.
Hell yeah.
And the seats vibrate, but let's not go that far.
Yeah, that's a good point. Be honest. Like, once you figured out your formula, how much work did you not do on that show?
Dude, we've talked, apparently, because season one. Here's season one.
Because I feel like I see you just kicking some sod out.
Dude, totally. Season one, you know, Discovery Channel execs say, we want it authentic. You know, we want Billy to get dirty. Well, look at me. I'm 230, okay? I'm old. I huff and puff when I take a shit. 46 now.
Does not look 46.
Dude, I know.
You look good. I said that to you before. You got ice blue eyes. You look good.
Oh, my God. You know, this is not going to be those poker games where you drop a roofie and end up sticky. Right? I've been to one of those.
No, it won't be for me. Maybe
no,
for
all right.
you.
You know what? I'm 46 years old, and so I really don't like to work manual labor. It all comes from me delegating and being an amazing manager. But back to the point. So season one, first five episodes, killed myself. Digging trenches.
Yeah.
I had heat stroke twice.
Really?
Passed out once and twisted an ankle once.
On camera?
Billy, get
on
up.
Camera.
We're filming, man.
Exactly.
We're filming, around, man. And, God, quit digging around, man. This trench ain't going to dig itself.
And I fell into a trench carrying a chunk of concrete and twisted off my Achilles tendon and limped around like a gimp for season two. But you know what happens when you get sunstroke? One of the main things happens? You get diarrhea.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So I didn't drink enough water. Yeah, you start to, when you dehydrate, your body wants to get rid of more water, which makes no fucking sense.
Agreed.
But so I spent... You know, 3.5-4 hours pissing out of my ass in a porta potty.
On set.
On set.
In a porta potty.
Yeah, you wanted stories. There's a story.
That is a story.
And my porta potty always had a, you know, the PAs on our show had a good sense of humor. So they always put a star with my picture on one of the shitters.
Oh,
because we didn't
nice.
Have our own trailer.
Yours. Yeah.
Yeah, because we got a budget for nothing. Craft Services was like Pop Tarts and Blue Gatorade.
Yeah.
Purple Gatorade, actually.
Purple.
Yeah.
So I met you.
Yes.
I met you. I was actually producing on this project, and they sent us out to Vegas, and they're like, they say, this is the guy you're going to hook up with. And I meet him. I'm like, holy shit. Like, you have, I mean, you say you're old or whatever, but your energy's off the fucking charts,
man.
It is.
It's crazy.
And And we went to an expo in Vegas. It was a pool backyard spa patio.
It was the International Pool Spa and Patio Show Mandalay Bay.
That's exactly what it was.
And, yeah.
And you, I mean, this motherfucker, we walked in, and he's pointing at pools and sheds and tools and boats. And I mean, rocks and fire pits and knows. He's like fucking idiot savant on the shit.
Yeah, but I don't know shit. I made up all that. And
bullshit.
I pulled it over your fucking eyes.
He would say it, and I would walk up and look. I'm like, son of a bitch. Yeah. I really know.
Listen,
Listen,
I'm kind of a savant. You know, I'm a Renaissance guy, which just is that old adage of, what is it, jack of all, master of none?
Yeah.
Yes. I am the proverbial that. I'm that.
At least you're honest.
Like, you know, for instance, if I needed to know about...
Wait, what'd you call yourself early? B-TV star, what'd you say?
Yeah, B-level TV star. But actually, it's a B-level cable star, which is like a low G-level television star.
I think he's K now.
You know, so by the way, that introduction to you changed my life. And seriously, it does, because every...
I didn't know that.
Well, every project that you go through, you meet somebody that you really have a kindred attachment to, or you feel like kindred souls. Ryan was one of those guys. And I'm not making jokes, being sarcastic. I instantly took a liking to his ability to make people feel comfortable. That's what this guy has.
Okay.
And I... No, at least me.
Yeah, of course.
At least me. I mean, he's not great as a stand-up, but he fucking makes people feel comfortable. No, they're so comfortable, they're sleeping in their seats, patong-ching. Yeah. No, I actually...
And slept one time.
I went and saw your show, and it was a fucking riot. I loved it. And after that, I lurked you, and then was looking in your windows and sniffing your underwears at the laundromat.
I love
Boom.
It.
So, tight.
But anyway, you did produce a show. It kicked ass. It showed that was called Hot List.
That's right.
Backyards. Backyards.
Was it a top 10 or what did it end up whittled down to? Top two?
You know what? They did cut it from an hour to 22 minutes. But you know, fuck it. It's okay. It wasn't me. They said it was the product line we were looking at.
It was all the same
shit.
You can only look at so many damn pools.
How many chlorine floaters can you look at?
Exactly right.
You know, hey, is a chlorine floater.
What channel was this on?
DIY.
Okay.
And it was supposed to go to HGTV, which is the mother lode, the holy land of all yard shows. And they didn't bump us. So,
but
it did do well.
But the beauty of it was you created it. It was your idea. Mm-hmm. And everyone got to go to Vegas on a fat fucking paid trip and have fun.
Oh, yeah. We were there.
That actually did air.
Boom.
It aired. It did really well. Memorial Day was one of the top rated shows on the network. And then they played it again 4th of July weekend of last year.
Nice.
This year, they probably won't play it.
Probably not. The Crab Feast will be on, though, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, good.
You'll be on the Crab Feast.
Good. That's
probably
even better.
Probably get more listens.
Let me ask you a question.
I worked on it.
Yes, Jay.
You know, Rye says you're going through there. You're picking out everything. You're the backyard guy.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, the house that we moved into back east, we had an acre of land.
Okay.
Acre and quarter. So it came with a sit-down lawnmower.
What?
And it was a Surf. Have you ever heard of a Surf?
No. And I don't know what a lawnmower.
S-E-R-F.
What's a lawnmower?
Lawnmower, bro. That's where we mow the lawn.
Where the fuck
with.
Are you from?
Massachusetts.
From
Boston, man.
Oh, you're a asshole. That's cool. Yeah. I get it now. It all makes sense. So you had a ride-on lawnmower.
A little Surf. S-E-R-F.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of that?
Never heard
no,
of a Surf.
I didn't think so. I mean, this thing was old school. It was orange and white. And it just had a little right here. Reverse, neutral, first, second. Right
between
here,
you're grabbing between your legs.
Exactly.
That's where the shifter
was.
And a 50-50 chance of falling off and losing a limb, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right. No, like, you know, just shooting.
No bag catch or anything.
No bag.
Just shooting.
It's
rocks.
like an upside down airplane with a seat on the tail.
Don't run near it. My dad used to do. We had an old, matter of fact, it was a John Deere. It was a beat up, though. It was
another runs like a deer. They owe me $1,500 right there.
I'll tell you this. It looked like shit.
Proud sponsor of the crafty.
It was rusted out, but it ran and it cut.
Because nothing runs like a deer.
It was one of those things where my dad was like, don't fucking, like when I'm cutting the grass, don't come out back. Because rock, you could see shit just shooting out the side.
I'd run over, like there'd be rocks that you'd forget about.
Yeah.
Like, it got to a point I knew the back. Yeah, I knew where every single hole was. I knew everything.
Like the abandoned stump that's still 2 inches
high.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sorry, Billy D. Shit over
fucking
him while he's
scary.
Laying out in his yard.
We had that thing for like when we bought the house in 78. That's when my family moved into it. And then my buddy Joey Maz, big fan of the Feast. What's up, Joey?
What's up, Joey?
He's
how you doing, Joey Maz?
Maz. Mazmanian. He goes by Maz.
Oh, okay.
Mazza comes by. I'm on the back. He's like, let me hop on the mower. I'm like, all right, hop on it. Just don't ruin the mower, bro. He's like, I won't, you know. Next thing you know, he runs this thing into a bush.
Right.
And then he's like, I don't know what's going on.
No reverse.
It didn't matter. He stripped something. He broke it.
Just
he broke the mower.
Broke the Surf.
And it's not like
over.
You don't just buy a brand new sit down if you're not a family.
Not a Surf.
You know what I mean? We had no dad around to be like, all right, we got to get a new mower. It was like, that's it. The backyard is going to overgrow. And then.
Yep, it's done now. Ten years
down the road.
You're living, in the rainforest.
Got it out, which.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, the whole yard. Oh, you, I mean, you know
do you
what
guys
happens.
Have Mexicans in Massachusetts?
Not
that,
really.
So who would clean all that shit out? White people?
No, I'm sure there are.
Hell yeah, that was summer jobs for us.
And this ain't racial. I love Hispanics.
Well, you're a West Coast guy, right?
Yeah, and so my guys that work for me are Hispanics, all legal. Did I say all legal? Yeah. And I make a shitload of money from them, and I take good care of them. Anyway, I just want to put that as a caveat. I love me some Mexicanos. A mí me gusta Mexicanos mucho.
Well, I dated a girl that was born and raised here, and
potential Latina.
She was from Argentina. She was a definite Latina.
Right.
And we went to Maryland, and she wanted to take pictures of white people doing yard work because she too.
Exactly.
Had never,
that's some racist shit, right?
She had never
that's
seen.
Reverse profiling.
Like,
God damn it.
Fucking reverse.
I was
profiling.
Like, listen, if there was any fucking Mexican kids when I was 14 that would have tried to cut grass, they'd have been beat down. That was like our summer money.
Right. They're taking
that's
away work.
That's how white kids and black kids make money in the summer on
that's,
the East Coast.
That's like an Irish guy selling crack in L.A. He wouldn't fucking make it.
And it was new to me when I came here, and I'm like, whoa, why do all Mexicans do it out here? Okay. Not all, but you know what I mean.
I just had a conversation in Spanglish, half English, half Spanish, with Juan, my top guy. And he was on my show, by the way. Juan is a huge star. His hands have been in every backyard show that I've ever been in.
Hand model.
Yeah, he's a quite. They look like they got stuck in your surf mower, these fucking hands.
Sure,
but they're working hands.
They're looking across the border, looking at him like, look like Juan's hands.
Right. I see Juan.
Juan's on again.
La Migra's
Juan's on again.
La Migra's looking at Juan's hands. I recognize that finger. Anyway, back to Juan. We had a conversation about that whole concept of a day without Mexicans in America.
Well, they did that, remember?
There was a what?
Out here in California, they did it. They actually did a day.
What?
There was a
it
day.
It would have been successful if there was some Mexicans like, dude, I got to work.
Yeah, there's some holdouts.
There were some places around that union
is pretty desperate.
Yeah.
So Juan, Juan was joking. He was like, yeah, he's like, obviously restaurants, obviously yard work, obviously house painting. And then I'm like, yeah,
hotels.
Where are you going to get your pot? Where are you going to get your fucking pot?
Everything.
Yeah.
Car wash. I mean, restaurants, cooks. I mean, everything.
Yeah. So
what the fuck are you talking about?
So viva Mexicanos.
Hell yeah.
Legal.
I actually have a story I want to share about a mower. You made me think of one that I forgot about. A friend of mine had a riding mower. I can't remember what it was. We had a Snapper. You remember
I know Snapper.
Yeah.
The one from Can't Buy Me Love. That's the one we have.
Isn't that he was driving in Forrest Gump, too?
I think it was a Snapper.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I think all it was. Right.
What's up, with that little
red logo.
That little,
yeah,
like
the little
diamond. Yeah. Not diamond, like, you know, the steering wheel wasn't round.
It looks like
it
an aircraft
like a,
yoke.
It looked like a boomerang. No, not a boomerang, but a fucking, like a butterfly.
Yeah, well, that's a, you know what that is? That's an aircraft yoke. By the way, I'm a pilot.
Yeah.
I'm a pilot. Aircraft yoke.
Okay.
Y-O-K-E. Like
I was going to say it looked like
twin engine single. Anyway, we'll get back to
that. Suzanne Summers thigh thing it looked
it
like.
It did. It's a thigh master.
Yeah, thigh master.
With a broken spring.
That's where she got it.
That's what we replaced it with.
Holy fuck.
No. So he had a little one like that. He used to tow just a little cart on the back, you know, for brush and shit like that.
Your dad did?
No, this is my friend at his house. And we're just riding around, towing. We're in ninth grade. We're just fucking around in the yard, towing around. I'm sitting in the cart, and he's driving. And they've got a hill on their driveway that's – and I'm holding my hand. It's steep, like steep, steep decline. And his sister comes home at this exact time. She just got a brand-new Beretta. Mm-hmm. Remember that car, Berettas?
I do not.
The Chevy
Beretta.
Beretta.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I just came in my mind.
Two-door.
I just pictured it.
So she's pulling up the hill in this brand new Beretta, and we're in like first gear, slowly going down. And I hear this; it sounds like this, ping, and I'm like, "What the fuck?" He's like, "Hold on!" And I mean, everything gave out on that tractor, and
God.
We're hauling ass down at her
downhill.
Too, her new car. And she sees the fear in our eyes, and she throws it in reverse and she punches it. But she's got to back out on their driveway was on a main street, so she's got to back out. And we are, I mean, I'm screaming.
Was that a sister you were trying to bang?
No. Good. Not bang into.
You weren't gonna.
We're fucking flying down this hill, and I mean, at the last second, he just bangs a left turn. So before we get out into this main street, we get up on two wheels and brings it down, and we just drifted down to it. And I mean, our hearts were racing.
Gnarly.
Pushed that shit all the way back. Dude, up the hill. I thought we were gonna fucking.
Dude,
die.
Is it amazing that we all made it to
I
this?
Know, right?
That's
old,
we talk about that all.
Fuck.
You should. Stupid we should have been dead do. At like eight.
That's
I know.
Unbelievable.
It is. It's amazing that most humans do.
You know, I want to hear what I used to do.
Yes.
Since we're telling stories. Yeah, this is a story. This is a story.
Hell
thing.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to hold back. I'm going to tell you stories. So when I was 12, 13 years old, we used to quad ride out in Pismo Beach and out in the dunes here
Pismo,
in the beach.
Dude. Pismo. Love it.
So, you know, our favorite thing to do was build a big fucking bonfire, because that's what you do when you're 12 and 13 years old. Mm-hmm. Down the beach a couple miles where your parents can't see it. So we lug the wood down there. And of course, gasoline cans follow. Yeah. And that's not for the quads. That's for your accelerant. Yeah. You know, dad's acetone and, if you know, C4 and
Who's
napalm.
Who's got kerosene?
Anybody got kerosene? Dad, you're going to need this Vaseline. It's a big fucking jar. Does this shit burn? So
how
we
many,
go.
How, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. How many people like are we talking? Like a group
we're talking.
Of
okay, so visualize
families,
10 families, each with two
wow.
kids, 20 fucking crazy 9 to 14 year olds, all with little quads Jesus. And motorcycles and dirt bikes. The poor kids had those little fucking dirt bikes, which. The poor kids had dirt bikes with the little yeah. McCullough motors, like yeah, the yeah. lawnmower
yeah,
motors,
yeah.
and they were trying to fucking make it through the sand. And us kids that had a little more chink, we had the little Yamaha 80s and shit. Anyway, so yeah, 20 of us ripping down there like some psychotic, dysfunctional fucking
Mad
gang.
Mad Max.
Mad yeah. Max, exactly. Thank you. We ripped down there. We built a huge bonfire. Huge bonfire. And then this is where it gets scary. And this is the part where I can't believe we
how
fucking
How big
made
are we
it.
Talking? Like
we're talking 10-foot diameter and 20-foot flames
Jeez,
because everything
wow.
we could find would burn in that fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, we'd tear the drapes out of the motorhome, run them down there and fucking burn them. So here's where it got weird. So the bonfire wasn't the weird part. We'd pour gasoline on our boots and ride through that fucking thing.
What?
Holy
right
shit.
Through the middle of
the
that bonfire.
Quads?
Yeah, and my wife is back here behind me. She can tell you that's true. Right through these fucking, with our boots. And the fun part was then you put your feet out while you're driving and your feet are on fire.
Yeah, but then aren't you scared to bring them back in by the engine while they're on fire?
Dude, there's no
they
fear.
They obviously weren't scared. Yeah.
No
yeah.
It's right when your testosterone is starting to fill
you're
your
right.
balls and
what
there's
am
no
I
fear.
Thinking? Like, it's over
you're
at
kidding?
That point.
Yeah. And then wait a minute. So the synopsis is huge fire, kids pouring gasoline on their boots and riding through flames, right? Your helmet on and all that. Then one of us had the genius idea to throw boxes of 22s.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
you know,
I know
it's crazy. They
I know
go
there's
off.
Guys there's guys out there, no girls, but guys out there have done
They've
that.
Done that. Yes.
And they fucking do go off. And then you know they don't come out like they're coming out of a barrel, but they're flying every fucking way and you sit around in a big circle waiting for them to smack you in the helmet. So and it's fun. That's good shit.
Yeah, yeah, that's good time.
My kid came
fireworks
up
fireworks are illegal in your neighborhood.
Right.
And if you haven't seen a picture of Billy D, he's got one eye.
Right, I got one eye, half a nose, and a 22 shell right on the left side of my sphincter. My wife thinks that's a big hemorrhoid. It's actually a piece
a
of lead.
Shell.
Yeah, and my son came by one day after going out on a little camping trip, and he said, Dad, have you ever seen a Sobe bomb? You ever seen one of these things?
No.
And he describes me the lamest
Is
fucking...
Is that some shit on YouTube? That
yeah, and it's the most sedate, lame shit. He thought I was going to freak out and, you know, be all scared. So you take a Sobe bottle, you know, one of those fruit juice bottles that are right. glass, and I guess the specific... You know, telemetry of the bottle.
Telemetry. First time on the crap. Telemetry.
Thank you. I was going to say shape, but telemetry just slipped right out. It sharted right on out of my mouth. So you pour gasoline in it, put the lid back on with a little hole, you know?
Gas mm-hmm. into it?
Into the bottle, gasoline.
Like you a know, Molotov empty. Cocktail kind of deal?
Yeah. And
you
but
empty
you set
any
it,
of it out?
Yeah, yeah. There's no okay. Sobe in it. Wow.
Oh, you empty the whole Sobe
yeah,
out.
There's, yeah, okay, let me start over.
Yeah,
you
I'm
take
sorry.
An em-
Not bad.
Let me start over. You take an empty Sobe bottle, and you put gasoline in it, put the lid on, put a little hole, and set it in a fire. And I guess you get a stream of fire about 50 feet in the air, kind of like a laser beam of flames, and then the whole thing explodes. And they think that's the most dangerous fucking thing they've ever done.
You're like, look at this.
Yeah, I'm all dude. I once took
throw these bullets in the fire.
I told my son, I said, I'm proud of you, except I took a WD-40 can and lit it like a torch and flamed the wasp's nest from 5 feet away.
We used to do that all the time,
Oh, my
too.
God. But did you ever have the wasp actually, you know, make it out of that nest before
no,
they got
I
on fire?
I would imagine two or three getting out
no,
of that.
No, I had about 400 of them get in my hair. I had long, flowing hair. Like,
yeah, we're going to get into that.
How were you stung?
I was stung like a mother, and they don't sting. They bite
they
you
bite
with some,
you.
Kind
yeah.
of, some kind of mandibles or some weird shit. 7 million, something like that. Literally, yeah, you couldn't count.
And were, I, you,
So anyway.
Did you go to the hospital?
I did go to the hospital, and they gave me norepinephrine, you know, like an EpiPen.
Okay. Yep.
And my face was all swollen up, about like it is today, but this is from salt and diabetes. But all fucked up.
You imagine
you get stung by wasps? Nah, salt and diabetes.
Yeah, salt and diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah. Dude, anaphylactic shock? No, sushi.
We used to do it with Lysol cans and everything. You know, you can light it up. But I was always, and it never happened to me because I was always super paranoid of letting that flame
go backwards.
Get into that can. Has
well, that's what your parents told you, that it'll suck up the flame and blow. It's like if you flip your eyelids, they're going to stay up. Yeah. That's fucking bullshit.
It won't blow up. You're telling me right now that WD-40 can pulls that flame in.
Billy D did a half a series on Mythbusters,
yeah,
man. Trust me.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Billy D. I'm going to show you.
He also has half an arm.
I do. But this hook is very handy. I got my own fucking tool apparatus instead of an arm. It's pretty cool.
It is cool. Well, I used to live back over Universal City in this big, huge house with three other dudes. It was like a six-bedroom. We had this huge mansion, and we're living in there. And one time, I'm like, everyone's hanging out. It's got an old kitchen, you know? And I'm like, I'm going to make some chocolate chip cookies. And the girls are there. Like, all the guys had their girls over. I didn't at the time. And they're like, yeah, dope. Let's have some cookies. I'm like, you got it. I go, put them in the oven. They're supposed to be in 15 minutes. I go to check on them. They're not even cooking. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look and I realize it's had two ovens, a top and a bottom. I had put the bottom one on. And I'm like, oh. So I just pulled out the cookies, put them in the bottom one, went back in the living room.
With the gas on?
No, the oven, yeah. Okay, the same oven, you know. It's just I had the wrong oven on, you know.
Right, I'm with you.
So I go back in. They're going to go for 15 minutes. That's how long they have to go. So 5 minutes in, one of my buddy's girls like, I think I smell something burning. I'm like, nah, nothing's burning. She goes, smells like something's burning. I go, I know for a fact it's not burning because I just had them in the oven. They weren't cooking.
About 5 minutes.
I put them in the oven. There's no way they're burning. And she's like, I'm going to tell you, it smells like something burning. And I go, how much you want to bet? In the middle of the room. How much you want to bet they're not burning? She goes, I don't want to bet you anything. I'm just telling you. I'll go, all right, fine. I'll go check them. I'll check the not burning cookies. I go in there. Nothing. I don't see any smoke. I open the bottom oven.
The broiler or the oven?
That's the thing. It was a broiler. It wasn't an oven.
Oh, fuck.
But I never had a
and
broiler growing up.
They were burning.
Not were they burning.
Wait a minute.
There was a full-blown fire coming out of
like a chocolatey dragon.
So I just go, we got a fire. I'm freaking out in the kitchen, and all my buddies come running. And all these guys are producers.
Wait a minute, this is after you've screamed as an asshole.
Straight up, no fucking way.
Mr. Big Man.
How about you want to bet? We got a fire!
I literally, dude, I freaked out. So I shut the thing again. I opened it, see flames knock me
like
back.
Like backdraft.
Go up. Yes. I yell, we got a fire. I shut it. I go, we got a fire. Get a fire extinguisher. And two of my roommates were like reality field producers and stuff like that. Guys that like, they're just on point with everything.
Right, they know everything.
Yeah, they got a fire extinguisher. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they come running out. He's like, all right, open it. I go, you ready? I'm like, trust me, there's a fire.
Are you ready?
They go, yeah, man, how bad can it be? I'm like, all right, bro. And I open it, and boom, it comes out.
Holy
Everyone
shit.
Jumps back, and he hits it with the fire extinguisher.
Done.
Puts it out, yeah.
But, so were they good?
Unbelievable cookies.
Fucking great cookies. I love carbonized cookies.
Just still soft on the inside.
But crunchy on the outside. Like we wrote that shit.
It burned up the whole side of the oven. This was like old, from the 50s, the double oven, you know? And then I had to like send a picture when I was moving out to the landlord and be like, hey, man, something happened. We're not sure. And he's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it.
A rat got stuck in it. The real story, the backstory is, how much shit did you eat from that girl?
Yeah, man. Did she let you have it?
I gave her a couple Dorothy Thorpe pieces.
Gave her a couple cookies.
She loves chocolate chip, man.
They're delicious. These are dark chocolate.
It's
terrible.
Fire stories. My father.
Is that where we went? We went to fire
stories.
That's where
we're at right now.
That's where we're at.
You start throwing 22s in a fire.
Go right to cookies.
Wherever.
Right to cookies.
I remember when we lived at this one house. We were in Carroll County in Eldersburg, where I grew up. And there was a
I grew up for 2 years.
What state?
No,
what state?
Than that. Maryland.
Okay.
Maryland. So we had a backyard. The yard was big enough to. Riding mower, you know, push it. Back was a little hill and the front was small. And we had this
fucking
hole.
You had to push your riding mower?
No, I'm saying, you know, too much to push it. Once in a while we had to push.
trash.
Fucking white trash.
Yes.
Yeah, the whitest.
So
fucking white trash.
Lower middle class, not white trash.
All right.
So we had this a little, I mean, when I say a sidewalk, I mean like four fucking pieces of concrete leading up to a door, okay? And there was a hole that went under
When you say a house, you mean like a cardboard box.
I mean a pop-up camper.
When I say a yard, I mean between the curb and the street where the gutter water runs.
So
and you don't know whose land it is.
Right.
I'm pretty sure this shit's mine. I'm not cutting it, though. But there was a hole that went under our sidewalk, and we saw this fucking, I mean, a big-ass black snake go down, and then a couple other ones go down. They're not poisonous, but
I got a snake story. Remind me.
A bunch.
I'm sure you do.
A bunch of snakes in there. So my dad decides, you know, like, this is one moment he's just going to try to impress it. Like, don't worry about this, guys. I'll get dad out of there. We're old enough at this point. Like, we're 13. We're like, oh, whatever, dad. He's like, I got this. Stand back. So he goes and pours a gas can. I mean, he's pouring gas. And we're like, dad, you're pouring gas into the foundation of our fucking home. He's like, just get back. I got this. Pours I can't tell you how much gas. He's bending over it, and he fucking throws a mat. This shit.
Oh, my God.
Shot, dude.
Like, and up his fucking chest.
Oh, got
face.
Your dad?
Yeah, guy was standing over it like an idiot.
We
are on the ground. We didn't even care if he was burned.
Hell
we were
no.
on the ground dying. Like, way to go, Dave. Think them snakes are out of there, dad? He's like, shut the fuck up.
There was one laughing motherfucking black snake, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, down there, a bunch of them.
However they laugh.
How long did that burn itself out?
Huh? It just came like one, like someone was under there with a blowtorch and just gave him one good one, like up his chest and shit.
I just pictured like a cartoon.
He's
like,
right,
just
he enough froze with fear, so he's hitting them up there and he's trying to bend back.
Oh, God. Just enough to
dilapidate.
Depilitate. That's when you take off all the hair. It's like a depilatory, like nair.
You're way over our fucking head on this guy.
Somebody's going to be looking up that shit. Just enough to get off every hair on his body.
Exactly.
And then my brother did the same thing, too. When he had bought this fucking Dodge Charger he was working on rebuilding, but it never started. And during the process, they tried everything to get it started. So they took straight fuel
right in the carb,
straight in the car.
Fuck.
Thank you.
That's the dumbest thing to do. I don't know anything about cars.
Yeah, that's like a flamethrower.
Yeah, and then they went to crank
it. And then they always look over it.
And it would go, but it would never turn over. So it's giving spark, and they're trying to hit it with a lighter, too. And, I mean, we're sitting on the porch, and same thing. Three of them are up on the hood, and, I mean, whoa, like that. And they just all go back on their backs. Like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, oh, my God.
Usually it does something like.
I could watch you guys all day.
Usually it burps like.
Yeah,
and then it
did.
Over your fucking face.
Yes.
Okay, I got a fire story before we get to the snake
story.
Fired up.
Done.
So I used to be into boats. I had this badass little.
Of course,
you know.
Love it. Pismo Beach. What?
Well, no, I had boats. We used to go out to this Lake Havasu out here, the famous sandbar. You know. Spring break shit.
Where the London Bridge is.
Exactly, where the London Bridge was taken apart piece by piece.
Is that how they did it?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, here we go. We're going
diverting,
all over the place.
But look,
I love
it.
I love it. No, no, I'm going right. I'm going right to London
Please
Bridge.
Tell me how it was done.
All right, so the
I'm
London Bridge. There was a guy named McCullough, the same guy from McCullough Chainsaws. I think he even maybe mentioned McCullough's earlier about
proud sponsor to Craft.
Proud sponsor McCullough Chainsaws. Nothing cuts like a McCullough. So McCullough, this dude, chainsaw, you know, billionaire, millionaire, in 1970s. I'm going to say it was 71, 72. Maybe even earlier. So he buys this huge chunk in the middle of the fucking desert in a place called Lake Havasu, right? Mm-hmm. And it has a lake in it, but it really has just got a big shitty lake in it you can't do anything with. This guy buys all this land in the middle of nowhere and decides that he's going to sell houses in the middle. I mean, we're talking 200 miles from Phoenix. There's nothing out there. No industry, no business, nothing at all.
How far from Vegas?
About 2.5 hours from Vegas and 2 hours from Phoenix.
Okay,
so it sits
right
kind
in
of
middle.
It sits in the dusty triangle,
and how far
right?
From
L.A., it's about 5 or 6 hours. Okay. And there was no runway at the time. He did build an airport, but I don't want to go there. So this McCullough guy is sitting around, and he's talking to a broker buddy of his, and a broker says, I got the craziest fucking idea, Mr. McCullough. We should buy the London Bridge. And he had found out the London Bridge was being sold as a historical piece to somebody who wanted to buy it. And if you could essentially, if you could ship it there, they would sell it to you for dirt. I'm going to say it was, you know, a couple hundred grand.
Come on.
Yeah. So it was taken
it's
piece
more
by.
Just get it out of there.
Yeah. Get it out
get
of there.
Get the fucking bridge out of here.
It was
$9 to sell.
Fuck it.
Sell it.
Get rid of the fucking bridge.
See if you get 10.
Yeah.
Sell the fucking bridge. It's falling into the Thames, by God. That's a horrible British accent, I know. But so it was falling into, if there's any historians out there, I'm not sure, but I think it was the Thames.
Okay.
It's falling in. It's crumbling. So it's a piece of shit bridge, is what it is. So they sell it block by block, and the blocks are about as big as this table, so 2 foot by 5 foot, block by block. They ship it over on boats all the way over to, I think, like Portugal, San Pedro, Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And then they put it on trucks, and now this guy's got basically, you know, a fucking mountain full of rubble. Now, the cool thing is he brought it there. He dug. There was no water where he put it. Picture this. You got to visualize this, people. There was no water. He builds it in the middle of the desert and digs trenches between the arches and then diverts the water from Lake Havasu under it. So he creates this narrows through it. But what's bitching about that bridge is when you go underneath it, there's bullet holes from World War II fighter planes from the Germans.
And some are where I lit a fire and threw some 22s in that.
Exactly. No, but it's really fucking cool.
So wait, so who did they hire to build it exactly? Like, how did they do that? How did they build it? That's the part I'd have to make up.
Let me see. Mexican laborers.
Thank you for leading me right into that.
Can you drive over it, or is it just you drive over it,
and that brings you from the city onto the island, they call it, which is where all the badass Naked Turtle, and I know some of your listeners know the Naked Turtle. It's a famous place.
You're right, because when I went to college out here for the first time, way back when, Palm Springs was the big spring break area, and the old people ran them out, and they went to Havasu.
Right.
And that's like the now just crazy
It's fucking
shit.
Insane.
Yeah, yeah. And I know a lot of people out here to take their boats and four-wheelers.
Does this dude take a ton of money then on all that land?
Yeah, what is he doing? He doesn't charge to get on it.
No, no. So now you drive across it. It's just a bridge, and half the people don't even know the history, which is really depressing. But so you drive across the London Bridge, but the coolest part is you can go under it with your boat. So there's three or four arches, and you just kind of cruise, and all the yahoos like me go under the bridge where it's really echoey and rev their motor. Because it's really echoey.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know how we got on the fucking London Bridge.
As a matter of fact, that's how we got on the boat. I will tell you, a friend of mine, I used to work with this guy. He went to Vegas one weekend with a buddy of his, and he comes back on Monday, and he's like, man, you're not going to believe what we did. We were drinking on the way out. I passed out in the passenger seat. My buddy doesn't know where the hell he's going. We wake up. We're like 2.5 hours past Vegas. I said, what? He's like, yeah, man. He goes, I'm telling you. You know what it was? We were somewhere. It looked like the damn London Bridge. I said, you were in Lake Havasu. He goes, yeah. I go, that's the London Bridge. Yeah. He's like, bullshit. He didn't believe me. A lot of people don't know the London Bridge.
Sure,
why would you? In Arizona.
It's pretty sad, actually.
It's crazy.
There's a big British fucking flag flying over it.
Wow.
There is. And then there's a little English town pub, it looks like Knott's Berry Farm.
Sound Alina Tower Pisa to Cleveland next week.
I don't know what the fuck that means. Just lost me completely.
The Leaning Tower
Pizza.
What's the Naked Turtle?
The Naked Turtle. So the Naked Turtle is at a place in Havasu on the island. And it is, if you can picture like a palapa, you know, one of those like palm tree fucking huts. Mm-hmm. And it's a famous bar sitting right on a cove. And it's the only place you can drink right on the cove. So it's genius. You got this big cove, this place that pours some mad ass fucking crazy drinks, and a bunch of guys with boats that go 140 miles an hour. It's disaster.
Yeah. Harley's in the water.
Yeah, it's Harley's in the water. Yeah. It's fucking drag cars in the water.
You're right, more money
than you fucking know. But the problem is, it's not funny, people get hammered and they go out and get hurt and killed. So that lake, I don't want
to
bring down the
mood. Can you only get to the bar by boat?
No, you can actually drive over the London Bridge and go down to the Nautical Inn. And I call it not a cool inn because it's not. It's not a cool inn, especially during spring break. Because first of all, I'm embarrassed taking my shirt off in front of all these fucking studs.
Yeah, of course.
Hairy fucking cellulitic belly and shit. And the other thing is, it's all night rocking and partying. You ain't going to fucking sleep for 3 or 4 days. And there are a lot of drunk people. And the fights are pretty much one every 5 minutes.
Wow.
So,
oh, wow.
You just sit on the bluffs over there in the cove. And
sounds
just
like
wait.
Baltimore with a tan.
Yeah. I don't know what that means either, but Baltimore sounds like a rough fucking place. You can tell that I'm kind of isolated, born and raised in California.
You OC? It's okay. Are you Orange County?
I was born in OC, and then I moved into Glendale, and then I escaped on a bus. So my boat fire story. It's fires and boats. Mm-hmm. So, you know, much like your dad pouring gasoline down the black snake hole, which sounds like a euphemism for some sort of sexual act.
Yeah, no shit.
Last night, son, I poured some fire down the black snake hole. I don't know. That just sounds gross to me. So much like that story, I had this little race boat, and you know those big engines that are bigger than the boat, right?
Yeah. Just
with the blower sticking the way out.
Yeah, the big chromed out and stuff.
Chromed out, yeah. High rise, dual quads, and a
kind
big
you got to wear a helmet in and shit.
Pretty much, and yeah. It has a huge scoop, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks like it could scoop like 900 pounds of ice. That's what this thing looks like.
Yes.
And so my boat wouldn't start, much like the starter fluid story.
Yeah,
right?
the charger, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we got Quick Start. It's called. That's actually the brand name. So, you know, when you're 19, you have a boat that'll go 100 miles an hour. You don't just spritz it. You know, the back says 2 second blast into carburetor. No, it's fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't try to start it because I know it's going to start. So everybody loads in. My wife's best friend, Carol, gets in the back with one of them big. You know, this is the 80s. Big 80s fucking metal hair, right?
Yeah.
Heavy metal days. We could go into my heavy metal days if you want. Remember Aquanet?
Yeah,
this bitch.
Yeah.
This bitch.
Gert, that's all for you.
Right. This bitch was two cans of the pink with a 33% more free strap up on the top, and big old fucking hair sits in the back seat right in front of the scoop. You see where this is going, right? So Aquanet, purely flammable, and flames.
Come on,
3 feet high out of her fucking head. She don't see it. She's sitting there like some doped up stupid bitch.
Where we going?
And I smell some god awful smell that smells
like burning Aquanet.
It smells like a skunk burning
it
or
does.
Something.
That shit's
and I turn
stinks.
Around and her hair's on fire and I start punching her in the head to put it out. It was kind of fun, so I kept punching her even after it was out.
So a couple extra shots.
Yeah. So, dude, it burned a big.
Elbow
she looked like
right
a
here.
Monk, dude. It burned a big ring right on top of her head.
God.
Yeah, like she looked like some sort of heavy metal Benjamin Franklin.
Oh,
it was fucking
God.
Crazy.
How mad was she?
Really mad, actually crying. A second degree burns on her scalp, and obviously never went on my boat again.
Ever.
Yeah, never.
I'll ski behind it, but fuck it.
Yeah, I'll sit behind it, but I ain't getting in that thing.
Oh my God!
There's my
dude.
Boat fire story, and we were talking snakes.
You had a snake story. I wrote it down. See,
woo.
Believe me, our listeners will be like, "You didn't let him fucking tell the snake story."
Right? Okay,
we
snake
will.
Story.
Don't worry.
So I wanted to be a herpetologist. You guys know what that is?
Nope.
Yeah.
I study reptiles.
Just say yes, dude. You know what I mean? Then he's gonna have to fucking
yes,
explain
and.
All this.
Then I don't have to keep talking. You know, a scientist that studies reptiles. I love herpetology. I thought it was cool, and I was a big snake fan. I used to catch rattlesnakes, Mojave greens, Western Diamondbacks
Whoa.
By my hands. I learned how to catch them by hand.
Really?
I did. I had a place in Yucca Valley, which is out there near Palm Springs, and I used to catch them. But that is not my snake story. So I had a rosy boa constrictor, which is a beautiful, colorful, rosy
How
boa.
Big? A pet?
It's a pet, yeah. Okay. We kept it in a terrarium until she got too big, and then we put her in the attic with chicken wire. That's how big she got.
How big?
What 6 feet, but fat as your arm, fat as your forearm.
Damn.
But I had a reticulated python, and those are the fucking things that eat like pygmy goats.
Okay.
So we had a reticulated python that they'll grow as big as their enclosure. So if you keep them in a terrarium, they'll get as big as a terrarium, and then naturally they stop, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
really?
We put it in the attic.
Oh, boy.
And put up the chicken wire and kept it in the attic, not knowing that the nature of things is like Jurassic Park, you know, nature finds a way. Well, this thing was going to get fucking huge.
And were you a kid at this time? How old were you at this time?
12 or 13.
Okay, so this is your family home you're doing
this is
in.
My family home, unbeknownst to my father, who said, those fucking things better never be in here. We'll keep them in the garage, Dad.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, and this gets gross. Do you have a lot of people that are PETA people or animal lovers?
Trust me.
We're
going to
lose some
of
them?
We have a little bit of everything.
All right, I'm going to...
We have a woodpecker story on here.
All right, I'm going to have a disclosure. Here's my disclosure. I no longer am a fucking evil douchebag. I have grown past that. I don't kill black widows. I put them outside.
Oh, really?
I relocate rattlesnakes when they're in my yard, and I love all living creatures. But when I was a kid, I was an insane... I was Jeffrey Dahmer. I was.
Okay.
I was Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's all we have tonight, you guys.
Thank you very much.
For coming back.
Lots of eating and screaming pursued. All right, so we couldn't afford to feed our reticulated python when it was a foot in diameter and 9 feet long.
Come on, man.
Yeah, and its head was I don't even know. Its head was bigger than like a medium-sized dog.
I would say yes.
Yeah, scary as a motherfucker. But we loved it. It was very
fun. Your dad doesn't know about it at this point.
My dad's still up there, and he's like, what's that thumping
sound? Would you go into the cage with him?
Of course.
Would you really?
Yeah, so we'd go up there. We'd open up our makeshift little chicken wire thing and clean out all the papers that was, you know, newspaper to live on. Like we had a parakeet, we figured. But here's the thing. We couldn't afford to feed it anymore because this fucking thing, you don't feed mice to a 9-foot snake. You feed, like, you know, dwarfs.
Like
dwarfs. So we started catching cats from the neighborhood.
Did you?
Feral cats?
Cats from the neighborhood.
God.
I just, all I have to say is when you say feral,
where are my cats at?
I'll say I still have a nice collection of collars. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Collar equals domesticated. Wow. But we found this motherload of fucking cats underneath this abandoned house in Glendale where I grew, where there were feral cats and they had lots of kittens. Mm-hmm. And so we just started going in. I know, you know, people are going to hate me. My show just lost like a million viewers.
No.
I
didn't have a million.
I was a kid. It had a million in my mind.
Hold on. Before anybody, if anybody has a problem with it,
yes.
They have kill shelters. I mean, if those feral cats went to the shelter, they just put them down anyway. Might as well let a snake eat them.
I agree. You know what? I was keeping the circle of life alive.
There you go. I mean, yeah.
But what was even worse, do you want me to stop this story?
No. How often do you put them in there?
All right. Well, once or twice a week, got to feed them some cats.
Yeah.
But see, the cats.
I just picture you guys coming in, just cut up and shit, right? Closed doors.
Well, this is what I was going to tell you. Is
what happened? To him, muffins.
Right.
Muffins got the best of them.
Chi-Chi. So here's the problem, though. You don't want your reticulated python beautiful, much like you wouldn't want your snake boots wrecked. You don't want your python skin tore up.
Oh, yeah. Cats fight, sure.
So you got to make sure they don't scratch your...
So you kill them first.
God.
No,
don't.
Snake won't eat dead prey.
That's right, it won't. Oh.
You guys fill in the blanks. Go ahead.
It's fine.
Blanks, fill it in.
No, I mean, I think I have an idea of what it is.
Sam, I'm guessing you got declawed cats. You picked them up that way.
We got declawed cats. Picked them up that way. Yeah, we only picked up the quadriplegic cats.
Would it eat them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they're alive and they're warm, it'll eat them in a half second. So they pounce it with their jaw. I'll describe it for those of you that don't watch.
Yeah, because I thought they wrap first.
Well, no, they bite first. So what they do is, boom, they bite and they hold. Then instantly they wrap. So they're holding with their teeth. So they bite it and then... Their fangs or their teeth wrap backwards, right? So you can't get out. It's like a fishing hook in your finger. So that's a beautiful thing about a snake's jaw is the teeth all wrap backwards. So they boom, they bite. The more the whatever is in it, the kittens, it's fucked. It. Yeah. And then it wraps up real quick. And here's how a restrictor works, a restrictor snake. They don't squeeze right away. They squeeze on every
breath right?
out,
yes,
which is
out.
Interesting. People don't know. So the little whatever, or human even, you breathe in and then out, and it squeeze. Holds at that position. Out, and it holds at that until at some point there's no more breathing in.
Yes.
And then they unlock their jaws. I know this is basic for most people, but to watch it, which was really a thrill as a kid. It was a biology lesson every time.
Yeah.
They unlock their jaws. They open their jaws. They can eat something that's like twice as big as their body in diameter. And then, you know, they just slowly work their way down the body. And then the really cool thing is the next day when it comes out, or two or three days, it comes out in this cool little beautiful furry package, almost like a coin purse.
Really?
Yeah.
It's processed like
that? It's processed, and the bones are compressed, and there's no skin or meat or anything nutritious left. All you got is this little furry pellet. It's actually called, I think, a pellet of fur. Cute, actually. It looks like, but did you ever have like a...
Sold them as gremlins.
Yeah, we sold them as, you know, those little rabbit foot keychains? Yeah.
Good luck.
Snake pellet keychain.
Yeah.
So there's my story that probably makes people hate my guts. But we were kids. Kids do shitty things.
We never had bigger snakes because I didn't like snakes. My brother took care of that shit. My brother thought he was, you know, I've talked about it before. He thought he was fucking, you know, Mr. Wilderness, and he would grab black snakes and shit.
Right.
But we would watch. We learned that they wouldn't eat anything dead, so we would tie like fishing string to the tail and make it bounce just so that we'd eat it. We'd watch them. Even black snakes will coil and do the whole
same
thing. But
cool.
Yeah, that's how we learned watching them on the exhale. They would squeeze. And
so I was
like,
singing,
oh, that's cruel. Look
I was
that.
Singing to the choir, wasn't I, Ryan?
Just to me.
You knew what was up.
Yeah, but I've never seen a snake that 9 feet outside a zoo, number one, and two, eat anything.
Whatever happened to it?
Yeah, how do you get
actually,
rid of that?
Good question. We went down to the local pet store, and we asked him for our snake if we could sell it to him. And he said, I will give you money, a lot of money. I think, you know, 13-year-old kid getting like $300.
Yeah.
But I had to go into quarantine because they don't know if you're, you know, sick or nothing. So they put in a little quarantine package. And we
ate the guy.
We go down and visit her. Yeah.
It was a girl, huh? Or at least you named it a girl?
Yeah, it was a girl.
Yeah.
We think. I don't know what a snake vagina or dick looks like, but I, you know.
And so he
snake
kept
dick.
This guy
snake
kept,
dick.
The, kept the snake?
Huh? He kept it. And he sold it. He was a local pet store. We used to buy our feeder mice from him. And
I mean, 9 feet, isn't that approaching zoo fucking size?
Yeah, I mean, like, but reticulated pythons, again, all these people out there that may know, you correct me if I'm wrong, go ahead and blog me, but I think they get big. Like a reticulated python, I think, like, you know, 12, 15 feet.
Jeez.
Big fucking. They're huge.
They
a
eat
python
goats
is big.
And shit.
Yeah, like
wild.
Little pygmy goats and shit like that. Yeah.
Damn.
I think a python, I don't know what breed, was that famous Facebook, the YouTube with a crocodile.
Yeah.
And that's real.
The battle.
They proved it was real. The battle of python versus
Have you ever seen
alligator.
That? That's crazy.
Whoa, they both end up dead, but boy, what a fucking brawl. It's like Mothra and fucking Godzilla. Seriously.
Really?
But real world. And that's a python of some. Oh, Burmese. That's a Burmese python.
Yeah. I mean, that just sounds scary.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So pythons are bigger than boas then?
Yeah. The python, I think, is the biggest species.
All right.
I don't know how I became a fucking snake pro.
Because you wanted to be one.
I did want to be a herpetologist.
Because you know a lot about.
Dude, I could catch a lizard still to this day. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So when
That's
I met
my claim
you,
to fame.
we've been teasing at it, but when I met you, you had told me, I mean, just full of fucking stories from... You know, you didn't set out to be a guy, a backyard guy, and a TV host.
No.
So what was your
dream?
Yeah.
What was my shattered dream?
What was your shattered dream?
Wow! A metal star.
Were you a singer?
Yeah, I was a lead singer, and obviously not a great one.
So how old were you?
Hello, Troubadour!
How old were you? Did you perform at the Troubadour?
Fuck, the Troubadour was my home.
Really?
I played with Motley Crue at the Troubadour, Rat with the Troubadour. I think the stories that you may have remembered from Vegas, because we met Vince Neil and he remembered me.
Yeah.
Remember? Mm-hmm. You remember him? Were you there when we met him?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't on my trip.
Oh, okay. Well, I went to SEMA one year and Vince Neil was there and he actually was so drunk, but he remembered. He goes, God, you look bad. I go, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Look at you.
You
look like my Jewish grandmother.
He does look
Fuck. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I played with all the greats of LA times in the 80s. And
So start us off there because I want to talk about this. So were you in high school and get into these bands?
I started in junior high. In ninth grade, I bought a PA and that's how I got in a band. So I went in the a paper called The Recycler. Did they have that wherever the fuck you lived?
No, but I know what you're talking about. Like
I used
penny
to use that back
thing.
In the day here.
It's the Craigslist back when we only had paper.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
And it had the worst ink. You'd fucking touch it and you'd look like you're half black from the fingers up to your wrists. Anyway, so I said, you know, young singer sounds like Robert Plant from Zeppelin. Lie. And with own PA.
Oh, this is your ad put in?
No. So
with own PA.
With own PA. It's like, you know, it's you know, it's like
do you have a band but don't have equipment? I'm your guy.
Right. I got a megaphone, man.
Right. So I got lots of fucking phone calls back in the day when your house phone rang.
Yeah. And what year is this? What are we talking about? You're 46.
Ninth grade. Fuck. Really?
70s? 80s?
No, this is 80s. I graduated in 85, so back it up to ninth grade. Probably
82? 81. 82, okay.
Yeah, so it was just kind of like the heavy metal bands were starting to be there. Like Quiet Riot just kind of hit the scene with their crazy costumes and shit. And so I started singing, and I got pretty decent. And then one guy said to me, he's like, bro, you got the look, man, but you suck. You can't sing. And so I took operatic vocal training.
Good. I was going to ask you.
I did from an opera singer, a big, fat opera singer.
Right. Now, why go there? Why go there first?
Because I
was
wanted
it
to have
recommended, or was that your decision?
I can't remember back that far. Okay. I wish I had a good story, but I just ended up with this big fat operatic vocal. It was probably voice lessons. It was probably on like the telephone pole, and I pulled a little stub of paper.
Right.
I was call Ethel, and I did, and she taught me operatic scales, and then I started singing with a Jewish cantor. Now I'm not Jewish by religion or anything like that, but cantors, good ones, have great voices. They have really great range.
I don't even know what that is.
It's just within the temple, the Jewish temple.
Oh, okay.
They're the person who sings.
Yeah.
So like the choir leader, almost always a man, a cantor.
They would let you sing, not Jewish?
No. Well, he just taught me. He was actually on the side. He taught.
Side deals.
Yeah. Get a little. You know them Jews. You know them Jews. You were thinking it. My grandfather's a Russian Jew, so I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Well, you can deal with that.
Yeah, I am dealing with that with a therapist. So I took operatic training. I took all this crazy vocal training and got pretty decent at it. And then I started to go out in bands. And then I put together a band when I moved to the San Fernando Valley, which is where porno and metal was really happening. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I put together a band called Steel Wolf. You know, fuck you. Not Steel Wolf.
That's a pretty good. I think that's a tight name.
Los Angeles, are you ready for the hottest rocking band in the whole wide world? Get ready for Steel Wolf.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So we had Jim Florentine.
One of my balls just popped. Oh, yeah, Jim Florentine.
We had him come on, yeah. And he told us a quick story that he took vocal lessons, and instead of the lady just milking money out of him, she was straight with him and was like, listen, yeah, you don't have it.
My guitar teacher said that. I took guitar lessons, and they just went to your – he told my father that I was not coordinated for guitar to take up singing.
Really?
And that's really kind of – and I was young.
So then okay, now you're in Steel Wolf.
So I'm in Steel Wolf. I put together a band and some guys that ended up being really good musicians, actually. And so we were kind of the almost band of LA. We sold out everywhere we played. I think one of the stories I told you, which is true and you probably remember, is we used to, there was triple billing, probably, yes, like the same in, sure, comedy clubs like you guys, sure, right? We headlined a lot because we brought in the people. But Poison,
yeah,
and Warrant were my opening bands for,
damn,
a long time.
Yeah. So,
and they sucked and we fucking rocked.
Wow.
And they had shitty songs, and all you Poison fans and Bret Michaels, every rose has its thorn.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, we got it.
You know? But I mean, all those fucking people out there that love them, they were horrible. They really were. And they made it, you know, they made their way, made their money.
I know a comedian who's not super well known right now. He was well known in the 90s, and he's got a poster in his house where he's headlining. It's huge, you know, huge name. And on the bottom it says also featuring Chris Rock.
Come,
wow,
on.
Because Chris Rock,
see,
was opening.
Those
for
are the stories.
Yep.
And he's where? And what's his name?
I don't want to drop his name.
Drop names.
But he got big for a minute in the 90s and like was big, you know, but he's not big.
It happens. And it's kismet and it's lightning in a bottle and it's all that kind of shit.
So my question to you is, I know you say they suck and all that, but were they doing those songs back then, or did they then get the songwriter who started writing that
stuff? I can't answer that, but they were horrible. And the thing is,
were they doing those songs back
then? I don't remember
then?
Those songs, now. Yeah. Not the songs that really sell now on the radio, but I do remember them being pretty. I wasn't sure if I wanted to fuck them or beat them up.
Hey, when I first saw the Poison album, I thought they were four chicks.
Yeah,
I really
they
did.
Were pretty.
They were heavily, when I say makeup, not Kiss makeup, but, you know, mascara.
Yeah, no, glamour makeup.
Yeah, glamour makeup.
A light blue.
Glam band, right?
Yeah,
blue,
I really.
I think Poison and Warrant kind of really coined the LA glam band scene, but they were just bad, and they kind of brought all the girls to the show, which was great, though, so everybody loved them. Because
yeah,
before that, it was a dude's game. Everybody in metal.
Oh,
it was
really?
A fucking sausage fest.
Yeah.
It was like Judas Priest or Iron Maiden, you know, scene.
Right.
They weren't girls, and they brought girls, hot fucking girls.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to back up a little and say thank you, Poison and Warrant, for bringing hot pussy
so
to the scene.
So when did you decide to stop playing?
When I got fired by my brothers, who were my bandmates. But so anyway, so we played.
You guys are like a hair band shitty Creedence.
Yeah, it was bad. So, you know, we played and we went out there and we got close and we got signed. And I was asked to sing with Poison for a while when Brett had a little falling out, and I declined, and they weren't signed. So I wasn't interested. And we played all the clubs and had good times. And I'm still friends with some of the people that were the biggies, like even Jeff Tate from like Queensryche. You know, we hung out with those. And a rap bought all my old equipment when we decided to upgrade.
Bought your PA?
Bought my PA.
Bought that PA?
Brought it up.
Right
out
of the
rat and
man.
Roll tour. Rat and roll tour.
So I got fired. What happened is there came a point in time where the band was getting a little bigger, and the singers always take the most heat because you're,
yeah,
the one that everybody hears. And when you record, you hear everything, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, people don't hear a missed drum beat or a fucking missed string. They hear when the singer sucks.
Yeah, when you crack.
And
yeah,
you crack or you just can't carry it off. Or the screams were in, and I was more of the bass baritone,
mm-hmm,
kind of more of what you would hear like Pearl Jam.
I don't like the screaming, man.
I don't scream, man.
Cam's great, no, but the scream is hard.
I don't scream.
We don't scream.
So we cantered. Did you say canter?
Yeah.
So anyway, my bros, my brethren, my lifeblood, they
your
fired
your actual
me.
Brothers, not
no,
your band
No, they
mates.
Were my band brothers.
Okay.
But you're like brothers. You live,
yeah,
in fucking weird quarters, and you do weird shit, and they fired me. It was a fucking devastating.
They turned into Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, well, without the money. And I'm in therapy still, and next session is going to be the band years.
No,
seriously.
Did they turn the band turn in anything?
No,
did
they
did.
They did some shows, and they changed their name, but the reality
Kiss.
Was...
They were Kiss.
No, they became Kiss. They became a little band, you know, known,
yeah,
as Pearl Jam.
Yeah,
exactly.
Eddie better. So I got fired. It broke my heart, and I gave up music because I was so heartbroken. That's not a joke. I could have gone on and probably done something with it.
Yeah.
But it was tough, and they hired another singer.
Fuck y'all! I'm gonna do some backyards, man.
Yeah, man. Fuck you guys. Fuck, I'm gonna have Steel a fucking Wolf. Cable show One on star. DIY. You have to buy a whole separate. You have to buy a whole separate fucking cable package to even get. Yes, thank you for filling that in. And it's not an HD in most markets, so I'm all fuzzy
fuck
and
Steel
shit.
Wolf. I'm gonna have people do their own backyard work.
So The thing I got from the metal years was I met my wife Nina, who is my best friend in 29 years.
That's incredible.
Wow, that's awesome. So far, no infidelities.
Amazing.
No actual penetration infidelities.
Perfect. Amazing.
You know, yeah, there's always emotional shit because that happens when you get to be my age. You Facebook an old girlfriend or something, but nothing that's been really heavy.
Yeah.
29 years with my girl.
You're honest as shit. I mean, she's right over there.
She's right there, and she knows the story. Again, I'm in therapy. Seriously, first time ever in my entire life.
And I want to say this too, because you really are. You're loud, and you have a lot of energy, but you're a sweetheart. And I worked with you for 5 days. And your wife, I mean, she's a fucking saint. Let's be honest. And she is, first of all, she's beautiful.
She's gorgeous. Armenian,
beautiful. And she genuinely, like, both of you genuinely love each other. It's nice to see after so many
down.
Years.
You just hear the guys cheating on Facebook.
Whatever.
I said an emotional
here.
Affair. She's sitting right,
she's
over,
right
there.
Over there.
But that's to make sure that I wasn't fucking one of you guys. Because she's pretty sure that any strange would be okay. 29 years? You fucking kidding?
That's a long time.
Seriously. So anyway, but I met my wife. She was friends of the band, and there's a general rule in bands, if you're smart, is no girls allowed, like in the rehearsal studio, no girls allowed in the recording studio, except sitting right over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Times change. And she was the one girl that was like, just leave.
She got
that.
Her titties out right now.
Yeah,
over there.
She is. Yeah, she's doing the 80s thing. Baby,
the 80s thing.
Baby, I want you to dildo on some Aquanet. We're going to relive fucking 84 right now. So anyway, she was friends with the guys in the band, and she was, you know, hands off, leave her alone. She's a friend, and she'll do our hair, even though she wasn't a hair.
Our
stylist.
Hair, I love it. I forget your hair. So wait, I gotta ask you, how big was your fucking hair?
It was fucking big.
Like
and
how
it was
big?
It was about 11 and
like
a half D inches
Snyder
on top.
Like D. Snyder type.
Whoa.
Big.
D. Snyder, curly and blonde.
Blonde
I'm not,
too.
I was fucking blonde as shit.
Yeah.
Toehead.
Do you have any old pictures online?
Of course. If you go to my Facebook, Billy Darien's Facebook personal, it says Steel Wolf years, the big 80s. Seriously. And it's me. I took pictures of pictures.
11 and a half inches.
Pictures of pictures.
I took pictures of pictures, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to put on there. And that's really me. I know it looks like a cute little girl, but it's me. And awesome. So big fucking hair, curly ass, beautiful hair. And it was more important to me than my character or anything else. The hair.
The hair, huh?
The hair is important.
Did
more
you
important
have facial
than my voice.
Hair?
No, I had to clean, and I don't have a tattoo. I made it through the 80s without a tattoo.
That's impressive. Wow.
Yeah, I just never thought there was going to be anything that would be on my body forever. I was pretty smart.
And what did you, like, we'll come back to your wife, because
yeah,
I'm
Nina,
dying to know,
Nina
what
stores.
Was your outfit that you wore? Like, were you in the spandex scarves, or what
No,
were you?
No, we were kind of classy, you know? I actually had a pair of light gray leather pants that I used to shove a pair of girls' softball socks, you know, the real long ones that come to your knees, in the crotch.
Did you, you really did that?
Yeah, because I don't have a big dick. I'm just going to be honest. I don't have a big dick. Yeah. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, for sure.
I got huge balls, though, but it looks funny.
Me too. I built like a canteen.
Nice. My son was 13, who he's Armenian and hung like a camel, apparently. He came up to me one time when I was naked in the bathroom. This is a true story. He looked at me and goes, Dad, your dick to ball ratio is all messed up.
Come on,
13.
Dude.
Yeah, he's fucking hung
dick
like a tripod.
Dick to ball ratio.
Dick to ball ratio. It hurt my feelings.
That's reason you might never want to have a son. Right.
That's a reason not to have a son and to be in therapy.
Yeah, that should be the next session.
Yeah. He looked at me like, "How did you ever get? How did you ever have?"
Yeah, right.
While two of my friends are pushing on my ass. So, I'm not a good comedian, obviously.
No.
But these are true stories, which are even funnier.
That's what we love.
Where were we?
You were meeting your wife, and she was hands-off everyone.
Light gray pants with soft
we were talking about outfit. So I had light gray leathers that we took white and black paint and splattered it all over. It was the splatter era.
Okay.
So a little splattered white
Jackson
black
Pollock.
Paint. Yeah, okay. What's that?
I don't know either. What is that?
Jackson Pollock?
What's that?
He's a favorite. Famous American painter that used to
splatter.
Oh, he's the splatter painter.
Yeah,
cool.
I know that guy. I didn't know.
I knew I was going to learn something.
I've seen
tonight.
Him do Hendrix art.
I knew I was going to learn something tonight.
Yeah,
Jackson Pollock.
We all learned something.
Well right done, on. Jay Larson.
Thank you for that. So, and then white fairy boots. When I say fairy boots, you know, white boots with a high heel and a pointy tip.
Kind of the fringes on them.
Kind of the Ronnie James Dio look. And then no shirt. And you said scarf.
No shirt.
I think you said
shirt,
scarf.
Man.
No shirt with a white silk scarf.
Boom.
Just blowing in the wind. And everywhere I went, I was in slow motion with a fan on me.
Crushing
it. Motherfucking wolf, man.
Yeah, get a wolf, baby.
Dude, I went to Carl's Jr. and I'd stand in the door where the air came down and just let that shit flow. And I'm like,
are you ready to order?
I'll have a famous star.
Shit's blowing in Carl's Jr.
Yeah, that was the androgynous era.
Get the fuck out of the way, man. I want some fries.
Out of here, man.
So, yeah, that was my outfit. I pretty much wore it all the time. You couldn't wash leathers. So, by about year two of my gig, smelled like, you know, cumin and fucking shish kebab. It was horrible.
Nasty.
Fucking stank. You could smell them from the front row.
Oh.
I kept wondering why nobody would stand up by the stage. Dude, one time I smelled my leathers.
That's why they fired
fucking
her
gross.
My leathers.
Leathers.
Give my leathers, would you?
Yeah, baby, give my leathers. They're standing over there in the corner.
They walked over.
They walked on over.
Oh.
So, back to my wife.
Yeah, well, so you went. You were telling us that Facebook. You reached someone.
Oh
reached
no!
Out
here we
something.
Go.
You brought it up.
I opened up the fucking hell.
You don't have to talk about.
I'm
it.
I'm gonna talk about
you
it.
You don't have to,
baby. Can I talk about it? Did she say
that
yes?
That was a yes.
Okay, my wife back in the corner here just gave me a mm-hmm. So yeah, listen. I had a girlfriend when I was 13, 14 years old, and at my age, you start to feel. You know, my therapist said, and this is really starting to sink in. Guys cheat when they're unhappy with themselves, and girls cheat when they're unhappy with their man or the relationship. And he told me there's about 99% true, and he's a good therapist. I think he's been around the block, and this is his specialty. And you know,
cheats on his wife all the time.
Yeah, motherfucker cheats on his wife
because
he's unhappy with himself. So he asked me if my wife cheats too, and I told him I don't know. And he said, well, "What's her number?" I put on ching, right? No, horrible. Sorry, I'm not a comedian.
I thought you for real. He's
I
like,
did
"We'll
too.
Call her right
yeah,
now. Let's get it out the open."
No. That's
so,
why I was like, "Damn, he's aggressive."
So I am in a true midlife crisis. I mean, I thought they were bullshit. I thought it was an excuse to get a vet and fuck strippers. But I'm in a place where I feel like I'm getting old. I look in the mirror. I don't see the rock star. I see this old guy who's been in the yard too long with the sun in his face. And you start to feel like you're getting old and you're not desirable. So anybody who's a female, in my case, who would give me attention and think I'm the shit, you gravitate towards.
Yeah.
And as much as my wife is my best friend and she loves me, she still falls into the trap where we both do that. She's a mom and a bookkeeper and my business partner. And she's amazing domestic goddess, best wife and mom ever. But you know, she doesn't treat me like I'm that fucking sizzling, sexy metal guy that she'll fuck in the back of the car on a whim just by looking at her the right way.
Yeah.
And you go searching for that shit. And I did. Fortunately, it didn't become physical. And this is a polygraph, this little thing in front of me.
Yes,
right?
It is. You're
okay,
on
I
right
just
now.
See it.
It's spiking
all the lights
like crazy
are spiking
right now.
It just
broke.
I saw
it just
that.
Broke.
It just smoke came out of fucking channel
fire,
3.
Fire!
Fire, fire, and it's not cookies.
Why? Well, real quick.
Yeah.
How long have you been with your wife?
29 years.
29 years. You're 46.
Yeah, 17.
So you got together at 17.
I was 17. She was 20.
She was
20.
Okay.
That's weird.
Was she your first? She probably your
first
real relate everything.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't my first experience because I was in a metal band. And you have these little
flabbergasted
bullshit things, and I had a stepsister too. But we'll
and
save that for the next
LA,
time.
Yeah.
I had a hot stepsister,
for next time.
And we'll save that for the next story because hopefully she won't listen to this because maybe I should avoid.
Come
that.
On out here, she's here.
And Billy's stepsister,
Billy's
with a kid that looks just like Billy. How fucking weird.
Name Billy. Billy T.
So I lost my train of thought again. Where were we? So did you, huh, Ryan?
So that's it. The old flame from 13 years old. Oh,
no,
17.
Since 17, she was your first everything.
Yeah. First love, first everything. And, you know, she's the mother of my gorgeous children, amazing boys I have. I mean, if anything, we were good parents because we had kids that bypassed the drug and alcohol phase, bypassed the disrespectful dickhead phase. And my eldest son, Billy, who's 20, he's a realtor in Beverly Hills. He's the newest cast member of Million Dollar Listing on Bravo.
No way, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah,
okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's his name?
His name is Billy Blair.
Billy Blair.
Because that's my real last name.
Okay.
Billy Blair.
I didn't know that.
Billy D. Blair, which is funny. His middle name is Darian, and I stole my son's name for my stage name. Let's not go there. It's just a long, complicated.
I'm with you, though.
So my son...
You want to keep that dream alive.
My 20-year-old became a realtor, and he's Josh Flagg's, started as his assistant, and now he's kind of a partner with Josh Flagg.
Awesome.
Over at Rodeo.
I love Josh Flagg.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Personally, we hang out together.
Cool.
And the whole, like, spoiled rich kid thing ain't true. Hardworking guy.
He's smart, too.
Smart and super avant-garde.
Yeah.
Super friendly and fun, and really lovable with a big heart, although there's a lot of stories about him, because my crew on Extra Yardage was the same crew that shot Million Dollar Listing for like 6 years. My sound guy, Jim Tubob. What's up, Jim?
Jimmy Tubob.
British guy. And our camera crews and some of the executive producers. So they all said he was difficult to work with. It's just because, you know, TV fucking busts your balls.
Yeah.
You're not always going to be a puppet.
Yeah.
So anyway, my son is on Million Dollar Listing. Great fucking kid. And my youngest son... Blake, who's 15.
You have two boys?
20 and 15.
Okay.
Yeah. My youngest son, Blake, just came out of the closet officially this week.
Way to go, B.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go, little BB.
Did you know? You knew or you thought?
No, we knew. I mean, you know in your heart, you know your kids. And when he was 6 and 8 years old, he did the shit that kids do because they emulate mom. So he would run around in her dresses and her high heels.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just something different because at 6 and 8 years old, he started laying out her clothes and he was doing a damn good fucking job.
That's right.
And she would
accessorize. You were not wearing those earrings and that purse with that dress.
So yeah, he's all, mom, you're going to look like a tramp. It's totally crass. Do you see that it's winter? Those are summer colors all the way up and down. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You're going to wear a lilac in September.
Citrus is in.
You're going to wear lilac in September? So we knew it. And the cool thing about Blake is super.
15, that's good. That's early.
It is. And super flamboyant. He's like I describe him as if you took Liberace and shoved him into like a Labrador puppy's body, you know, all frumpy and floppy, and he doesn't know what to do with his 6'3" frame.
He's 6'3"?
Yeah. And
holy
he's real.
Shit.
He fucking runs into, he can run into his shadow, this fucking kid.
Damn.
It's unbelievable. But super handsome. Like, he's been described as a German model. He looks like a German. Like, he looks like one of the Aryan, like one of the SS.
Yeah.
You know, blonde, tall, good looking. So anyway, my kid, my 15-year-old Blake, who just came out, he is a designer, a fashion designer, quite accomplished. He goes to the Art Institute.
It makes sense that both of what your sons do based off of what you do. Because not only, I mean, you do the backyards, you do the cars, you know boats, you know everything.
Right.
And that's just he's almost doing the same thing, creating something else just in a different
field. He is, but I think, you know, the story behind that is they're not afraid to follow dreams and passion. And I've always told my kids, I don't care what your passion is. So they follow their passions, and they're proof that your passions will lead to something kind of cool. They just happen to be both TV, because Blake has now got a TV show coming out, which I'll pitch in
Come
a second.
On.
Yeah.
Shut
and
up.
You'll find out that it's all true.
Well,
soon.
You know, it's kudos to both you and your wife too, because if you weren't supportive parents, your son wouldn't have come out, wouldn't have been comfortable coming out.
No, and it's never been.
Was it? Were you cool? I mean,
oh yeah. We've always teased him. We've never been he's never been afraid to say he's gay. It used to be like, I don't know if I like boys or girls. I'm in a transition. I think some girls are hot and some guys are hot. And I said to him, this is going to be a little randy, but I said, you know, you're 15. If you ever dream about sucking a guy's cock, you're gay. And I told him that. And he said,
trust me.
I said, have you? I said, have you? And he just rolled his eyes and walked away. I go, bingo.
That's a good father-son moment.
It was a good father-son moment. It wasn't hurtful or painful. It was just real.
It was real.
And so, anyway, Blake's career.
That's just the same. I mean, you'd be giving advice to your son about chicks. You're giving advice dudes. That's pretty awesome.
And you know what? You look at sexuality in my age now, you know, middle-aged guy. It takes up only 0.1 seconds of your time, and it's only 3% of who you are. I mean, we're sexual beings, but it's not a big part.
That's 0.087%.
Okay.
Just quick math.
Thank you very much. Fuck. He finally gets X smart over here.
He's like you with math, the way you are with fucking backyards and pools
and dirt. So Blake, to segue into his show, because I'd rather pitch my kids. Blake is going to be doing a show on Style Network, but he's been a designer since he's young, and some of his accolades are that he won Best Dress Design at the Art Institute of North Hollywood last year in his summer school program.
Cool, man.
Everybody's 18 and above. He was 14 and admitted.
That's going to be on
nice.
Is there a name of the show?
Yeah, it's called, right now, the working title is Fashion Phenoms.
Oh.
You know, like prodigies.
Yeah.
And there's five kids, up-and-comers in fashion, like my son, and there are some boys and some girls, but it follows their family and the support of the family. And I guess the gist of the show is that they're kids that are kind of avant-garde and really talented, but how does a family raise and support any type of kid that is really a savant? you know, because that kid is a savant. And that's the struggle, because they get depressed and semi-suicidal if you take away anything that is creative outlet, a savant. Hmm. So if a kid plays piano and he's crazy on piano, and you take that piano because you're punishing him, you might as well fucking put up a noose in his closet.
Really? It's like that?
Yeah, Blake, we used to say, concentrate on your work. Fuck this. He makes dresses on a fashion buck, you know, like a dummy.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he sew?
Does he sew?
He sews. He cuts. He's been in sewing class. He's been in sewing class since he was like 10.
He make me a cape?
He could make you a fucking cape. He made me underwear with an elephant trunk on it.
Did he?
A little elephant trunk.
Try to help dad.
Baby
out,
elephant
man.
Trunk. Okay, yeah. It's more like
a hummingbird trunk.
More like a mole nose.
Mole nose.
It's like a mole nose. That's fun to say. Say that, everybody.
Mole nose.
Thank you. You know, I introduced him to a guy on TV named Sam Saboro, who has a show on TLC, and my son was interning for him on a show on TLC, and Sam said, you got to have your own show. So they introduced him to Style Network, and they developed and created a show called Fashion Phenoms, and they started shooting last week.
Wow.
Damn, so kudos to my son, Blake.
Way to go.
Not just the show, but coming out and having the balls to stand up, you know, keep his head high.
For sure. And chase your dreams. I mean, that's a lot of shit going on for a young kid. Good for him, man.
It is.
And it's hard enough just to chase. It's hard enough to follow your fucking gut.
It is.
Let alone chase dreams, come out of the closet.
Yeah,
I mean,
dreams are dreams, man.
At 15, man, that's fucking good for him.
I got advice, because I know parents listen to this. They aren't all college kids that listen to this,
right? No, not at all. We have grandmoms that hit us up, man.
Okay,
all
right, grandmoms and parents. Here's my advice. Listen, know where they're going early. It's our job to detect what direction they're going in, to really watch and take the shit off their plate that isn't going to put them there. So Blake didn't need to get math grades.
Yeah.
Blake didn't need to know about American history.
Sorry. So you were saying to him, you used to yell at him, focus on this.
Right.
What you're saying is you're taking this creative person and putting him in this box that is the whole – it's the wrong direction.
Well, is he going to graduate
high school? Wrong direction. Oh, yeah, with B's. But that's on his own accord, because you have to get grades to get into like Parsons in New York, like a famous design school. So he decided you got to. But my point about not getting good grades or things is, when we took away his sewing and all that shit so he can concentrate, he got suicidal and depressed, literally. So my advice as a good parent, because I'm here sitting with grown men that are amazing, is know where they're going early. You can see it. If you just got to tune into them, see what they're going to be. Are they going to be an entertainer, a comedian? Do they want to be civil servant like cop or fireman? Yeah. Are they have a hero complex? They want to fly planes? And take the shit off their plate that isn't going to put them that direction, because Blake getting good grades in math was not going to help him.
Yeah, and it's a different time now. It's a time that you can kind of explore that and be like, you know what? Not everyone, I mean, everyone now, it's like, learn computers, learn Chinese.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, not everyone's going to do that. So if you see something in someone, push them to what they can do.
I agree. So my son, Billy, the eldest, who is on Million Dollar Listing in Rodeo, Beverly Hills, realtor, he was in college, junior college, floundering, letting his hair grow, dressing like shit. And I said, what the fuck is wrong with you? You don't even care how you look anymore. He goes, I don't know which direction I'm going in. And
I got this picture of you from Steel Wolf, right, Dad. Yeah.
I need to learn how to sing opera and get fired by my brothers.
So you got in his ass a little bit, huh?
Oh, well, not got into his ass. I sat him down. We had a three-hour conversation, and I said, tell me your dreams. And the first dream was a race car driver. I said, fuck you, race car driver. that's like wanting to be a rock star. The odds are the same. And he said, I'd like to sell high-end real estate, like those million-dollar listing guys.
Wow.
And bingo, a year later, he's in the office, Josh Flagg. Look him up, Billy D. Blair. He's right there with Josh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He was filming today. So, and I said to him, college is not going to help you. I will give you this. I've never really given him money. He bought his own first car. He had jobs at restaurants. They supported themselves. And I said, I'll give you the safety net to come back. If you need to come back and go back to school, you got that net. Don't worry about it and go for it. And he
that's tight that you can offer that too.
Yeah. Well, no matter what position we were in, I would have always had a place for him. So, he went out, got his real estate license. I introduced him to Josh Flagg. Josh said, sure, come in my office, help me out with some shit. Next thing you know, he did it all himself from there. The door opened and that was it.
It's awesome, man. Yeah. You got to be proud of that.
I'm fucking proud of it.
I'm proud of my
wife too. I'm not going to take all the credit. It took somebody in the back office to handle shit. And that was my wife.
Yeah. And she's awesome, man.
We're not being funny anymore.
No, who cares?
Hey, this is storytelling. What it's all about. And you know what? Kudos to you guys. And thank you, man. It was great. We're out of time now.
Wow,
thank
that was
you.
Fun.
It did go by,
that
man.
Was
it was
fun,
a great
man.
Episode.
Thanks for sharing all that, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you for opening up.
Do I get to pitch anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So DIY Network Extra Yardage is still on. That's my backyard show. It is a really cool show. And the friends and family do the real work. So watch it. Help it rate and all that stuff. And then look for me upcoming on the Discovery Channel show that has to do with hot rods, and I can't tell you nothing else.
That's all right. And hit him one more time with your Twitter, please.
All right, Twitter, just Billy Darien, B-I-L-L-Y-D-E-R-I-N. And my Facebook's the same thing. And then BillyDarien.com. I got a great website. It's got a bunch of my videos, the Today Show, you know, shit, and all the stuff I did in New York to promote some stuff.
Great.
And fun, man. Living the dream, actually.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me,
being
guys.
Our 4th of July guest. Jay Larson. Woo!
Jay Larson Comedy on Twitter, jlarsoncomedy.com.
I'm Ryan Sickler on Twitter, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.
Happy birthday, America.